This is HPR episode 2060 entitled, Introduction to SED, Part 5, and is part of the series, Learning SED. It is hosted by Dave Morris, and is about 48 minutes long. The summary is, finishing covering SED commands, looking at some example scripts.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello everyone, this is Dave Morris. Now today I'm finishing the series on SED. It's taken 5 episodes to cover it in some depth. I get the impression that quite a few people have tuned out by now. But there's some quite interesting features in here, and I thought there would be at least a small number of listeners who would be interested in delving into them. So in the last episode, we looked at pretty much everything about the way that SED works. And we looked at the hold and the pattern buffers. We looked at some of the commands that we hadn't seen at that particular point and started to see what could be done with them. Now, there are a few more remaining commands. We're not going to cover them all, but some of them are, well, I think they're all pretty obscure, possibly even very obscure, as I put in the notes here. I wanted to cover them because I'd like to go over a few of the example SED scripts that are in the GNU SED manual. The reason for doing this is that I went looking at this manual when I was trying to work out how to use SED in a slightly more advanced way. And looking at the examples, I could not make head or tail of the majority of them. One or two. Fairly straightforward, but the majority of them, they're just so obscure. And I thought, well, if I can shed a little bit of light on them that might be helpful to others, then it's worth having a go at. There's quite a number of them in the GNU manual, but I'm only covering 3 in this show. So if you want to get deeper, then you're on your own, or you can call on me and I'll do another show. But I doubt that's going to happen. So we looked at some of the less frequently used commands last time. We skipped a few, so I'm going to fill in those gaps today, or some of them anyway. There are a bunch of commands for inserting text in SED. So far we've just been modifying stuff and printing it out and so forth, but we haven't got anything for inserting stuff. And the first command is the C command. And it's rather weird. It's normally written out as if you're typing your SED commands into a file. So you see the letter C on the first line, and it can have addresses associated with it, all of the address types that we saw in episode 2. And the C is then followed by a backslash. Then on the next line is the first line that you want to insert, followed by a backslash if there's more lines. And then it carries on till the last line, which doesn't have a backslash on the end. So it's all the lines, including the C line, have to have backslashes on the ends of them, except for the last line. So what it does, it deletes the lines from the input stream or the file that you're working on. It deletes the lines that match the addresses, and it replaces them by the lines that follow the C command. Since it deletes the pattern space, when you issue a C command, a new cycle begins. So another line is brought in and whatever. All the things that we talked about in earlier episodes. Now the C command can be used on the command line, directly on the command line, but not all that usefully. If you use it, you can't then follow C with any other SED commands. because there's no easy way to signal that that's the end of the insertion and here is the next command. But you can do it by using multiple minus E quoted strings on the command line. So I've got a demonstration here. The demonstration, I'll just read out the command. It's sed space minus E space open quote 1C backslash line removed close quote minus E quote 3Q lowercase q close quote and then the file sed demo1.txt. So what that's saying is on line 1 replace that line with the words line removed, and then on line 3, that's the second minus E expression, quit. So what you see is the first line is replaced with line removed, then the next two lines are printed out normally. But you can only generate one line through the C command in this way. You can't do this in the standard sed. So if you wanted to generate more than one line, and I've got an example of trying to do that. So I've got 1C in my expression, backslash, asterisk, asterisk, censored, asterisk, asterisk, backslash, do not read. It doesn't generate two lines. It's just one line containing all that text with the backslashes removed. So, but you can insert escape characters. So backslash N is valid. So that will generate a line break. So you can generate multiple lines. So the third example in this, the notes, the long notes here, shows it being used to add the line censored with asterisk around it, do not read, instead of line one of sed demo1.txt. But the C command is best used in a file of sed commands, and I've put one together which is called demo5.sed, S-E-D, which is available and linked from the notes. It's available on the HPR website. So what I've done in the notes is I've shown the sed file, demo5.sed, and I've listed it using the NL command with various arguments to control the way that the numbers are put out. So you'll see there are seven lines. The first five lines consist of 1C, so that means on line one, operate the C command. Replace line, and then on the end of the C command is a backslash. Then a line of a few hyphens, backslash. This next line is line three. This line has been censored, backslash, and then so and so. Lines four. Then line five is the last line, and it's a bunch of hyphens. There's a blank line, then 3Q. So basically, this is a similar sed program to the ones we've already seen. And when you run it, you would run it as sed space minus F space demo5.sed space sed demo1.txt. And instead of line one of the file, you get this line has been censored with lines of hyphens around it and so on and so forth. You could have done all that on one command line using backslash n new line things, but that's very much a GNU sed extension. So this particular example would work with standard versions of sed on BSD or Unix systems or whatever. Not sure how many systems don't use GNU sed these days, but they do exist, I'm sure. So after the C command, let's look at the A command. This is similar. It consists of the letter A followed by a backslash, followed by multiple lines, each followed by a backslash, except the last one. It'll take any of the address types that we normally find. And what happens here is that the line that's currently been read in is processed as normal, and then it's followed by the lines associated with the A command. And it happens at the end of the cycle. So basically it's appending this, whatever text you're providing, after this particular line. So if you put addresses on the A command, then it'll only do this for the lines in question. Or if you don't put a line number at all, it will apply to every line of the file. So I've got an example of using it on the command line, using the one line form as we looked at for the C command. And this one consists of the command sed space minus E space quote 1A backslash chickens quote space minus E space quote 1Q quote /seddemo.txt. So what this does is it prints out the first line, Hacker Public Radio, and then it follows it with the word chickens. And it only applies to the first line, and the one cue says, after processing line one, stop. So it just does it once, and you only see one line of the file. The next example shows how you could add lines containing just a single hyphen after every line of a file. I don't know why you'd want to do that, but it's effectively double spaced, so maybe it's a bit easier to read or something. So this one, the command is sed space minus e space quote a / hyphen quote space minus e space quote 3q quote space seddemo1.txt. So this prints out the first, second and third lines of the file, and after each one is a line that only contains a hyphen in the first column. So you can see that the A command's being applied to each line, and the hyphen's been written out after the line. So finally, in this group of insertion commands, we have the I command. This is, both, I should have said, as far as the A command, you won't find that in other versions of SED. It's only the GNU SED. And similarly with the I command, it's only available in GNU SED. And it's got the same structure as the C and A command. So it's I / line 1 / line 2 and so forth. The last line not ending with the / takes addresses in the same way. And what happens is all the lines covered by the addresses, or all lines of the file if there's no address, have the text which has been inserted by the I command added in front of them. So using the one line form, as we looked at with the C and the A commands, you can put escape characters like / n for a new line. So I've got an example that simply adds the hyphen, the line containing just a hyphen in front of every line and printed out from the file. And this is very, very similar to the example I gave for the A command, except the hyphenated line precedes each line. So I won't enlarge on this one. I thought I'd finish off with something that might be useful. I don't know. Personally, I've never found a use for these particular commands. But what I've done is to construct an example that inserts an open square bracket before every line and a closed square bracket after every line, and it just does it to the first three lines of seddemo1.txt. And it's simply done by the command sed space minus e space quote I / open square bracket quote space minus e space quote a / close square bracket quote space minus e space quote 3q quote space seddemo1.txt. So that's going to print out the first three lines of the file, then it will quit, and in front of each one it will put an open square bracket, after each one it will put a closed square bracket. So that's all there is to say about this, really. It's a bit weird. It could be useful in some contexts. You could use it to, since the addressing type that you can use there is any of the addresses that we've talked about in episode 2, you could use it as a way of highlighting a given line in a file by putting something some sort of highlighting sequence in front and after it, or just in front of it, or just after it, whichever takes your fancy. So I guess it could be useful from that point of view. So I'm going to go on to three commands within GNU SED which are classified as guru level. These are pretty obscure. The section in the manual, the GNU SED manual, is called Commands for SED Gurus, and it says, as an introduction, in most cases use of these commands indicates that you are probably better off programming in something like Orc or Perl, but occasionally one is committed to sticking with SED, and these commands can enable one to write quite convoluted scripts. So basically, it's warning you off using them, I think. But I'm including them here because quite a number of the examples in the manual use use them. So I thought it would be useful at least to skim over them so that you had some sort of understanding when I go on to explain some of the examples. So sed commands are really a sort of programming language, very, very basic sort of and rather odd programming language. And as such, it's possible to use labels and conditional and unconditional branching within a sed script. Defining a label consists of a colon. You just put a colon on a line by itself, followed by a character sequence. And the character sequence is the label. So colon X is an example, or colon hello, or anything that takes your fancy can be used as a label. There's no addressing associated with it. Makes no sense to have any addresses. And it's simply a way of marking a point in the script for branch commands. Speaking of which, the B command, which consists of B followed by an optional label, it causes an unconditional branch to that label. So it makes the flow of execution jump backwards, or indeed forwards, to the label in the script. The B command can be used without a label, in which case it just stops the current cycle and starts a new one. The third example we'll look at in this particular episode, reverse characters of lines, it's called, uses this. Then there's the T command, and this takes the form, well, pretty much the same as the B command, the letter T, lowercase t, it was lowercase b as well, I should have said, lowercase t followed by a label. So it causes a conditional branch to the label, and it happens only if there's been a successful substitution with an S command, since the last input line was read or conditional branch was taken. If you omit the label, which you're quite at liberty to do, then it causes the next cycle to start. And again, this is used in the third example towards the end of the notes. So the final category is commands which are specific to GNU sed. And there's actually quite a number of these. I've skipped them all but one. You're probably relieved to hear that. You can check them out, and I've given pointers to them in the GNU manual in the notes. The command I'm going to talk about quite briefly is the F command. This is a capital F. And what it does, it prints out the file name of the current input file. It does this with a new line at the end of it. So I've got an example here which consists of sed space minus e quote 1 open curly bracket capital F semicolon q lowercase q close curly bracket quote space sed underscore demo 1.txt. So what that's actually saying is, on line 1, there's a group that is to be obeyed, the curly brackets. And the group of commands consists of the capital F command, which prints the name of the file, and then a Q command, which stops processing. Because in this example, sed is running in its standard read and print mode, auto print, then the first line of the output is printed. So what you see as output of that command is sed underscore demo 1, so that's the name of the file that's being processed, and it's written to the output, followed by the first line of the file. It's as simple as that. It is quite useful, though, and there is a show in the queue talking about some of the features of the Bash scripting language where I've demonstrated its usefulness. Okay, let's get on with the examples from the GNU manual. There's a bunch of these, and they are, on the whole, pretty obscure, I would say. I've chosen three which I think are probably a little bit more understandable and seem to make a bit more sense. It's entirely my arbitrary choice, I guess. First one is to do with centering lines, and it centers all the lines of a file in a width of 80 columns. So it just pads them with spaces on the front to make sure each line fits into the center of the given line. Now what I've done here is I've slightly modified some of these to make them a little bit more readable, and also to reflect that most of my audience are going to be using Linux and things like paths and so on. are going to be different than Linux. And in this particular case, the file begins with the usual hash mark, exclamation mark, often called crunch bang or hash bang, followed by the path to sed, which in my case is /bin/sed, then a space, then a minus f. You need the minus f because you need to tell sed to read its commands from the file that it's actually been invoked from. And this particular script is available as part of this episode, and it's called center.sed, C-E-N-T-R-E, spelled the British way, and I've linked to it from the notes. So I've listed it out, and I've used a feature of Markdown and Pandoc, which lets me do a numbered listing, so I can talk about the lines in the notes. So the script begins with a group of commands, which span from lines 4 to 9. And I apologize that you really do need to have this in front of you when you're working your way through this. If you're sitting on the bus or something, driving home or something, then it's not going to be very easy to deal with. But I can't think of a better way of achieving this. So in the group, the first line, line 5 of the script, is an X command. And you remember that this exchanges the pattern space and the hold space. And on line 1, this operates on line 1, this means one line will have been read from the file, and it will place that line into the hold space. The hold space, because it's line 1, will be empty. So now the pattern space is empty. Then the next line consists of a substitute command, which is an /circumflex$(10). So what that's saying is the line in the pattern space, which consists merely of the dummy character start of line, and the other one end of line, the dollar, is to be replaced by 10 spaces. So basically it's sed's way of adding 10 spaces to the buffer. Line 7 is another substitute. Now there are multiple spaces, there are 10 spaces in the buffer. So this command is /circumflex$(, then there are 8 ampersands, and then a closing slash. So what that does is it replaces the 10 spaces in that pattern space buffer by itself, the ampersand, 8 times. So it creates 80 spaces. Then line 8 is another X command. So you won't be surprised to know that it swaps the 80 spaces into the hold space, and the pattern space, what was in the hold space, the first line, is swapped back into the pattern space. So that was a brief process of creating 80 spaces which are stored in the hold space. And we move on to line 12, which simply contains a Y command. The Y command, if you remember, is the way in which you can swap or transliterate, was the term we used, translate one type of character to another. So in the original, it contained the word tab, T-A-B, /tab/space/, but what that was just a convention to signify a tab. So I've replaced that in the copy I've handed out to you with /t, that escape sequence. So in other words, it's just going to go through the whole line and replace any occurrences of tabs by spaces. I suppose it's a bit of a cop-out in a way, because it's going to destroy the effect of any tabulation that you happen to have on that line, but there you go. And line 13 is a substitute command, which is /circumflex/*/. So what that's doing is it's removing all leading spaces from the pattern space buffer. Line 14 is the equivalent for taking off trailing spaces. It's /*$(). So any number of spaces preceding the end of line is removed. So these lines 12 to 14 are going to be executed on every line. for the moment, we're just imagining it happening to the first line. We're now on line 17. This is a capital G command, which appends the contents of the hold space to the pattern space, preceded by a new line. It just makes a copy of the hold space and appends it to the pattern space. Well, the hold space, it's got 80 spaces in it, so it's going to add to the pattern space a new line and 80 spaces. Line 20 is an S command, substitute, so it's lowercase s slash circumflex backslash open parenthesis dot backslash curly open curly bracket 81 backslash close curly bracket backslash close parenthesis dot asterisk dollar. Now that regular expression is a grouped one, that's the backslash parentheses, and inside these parentheses it's saying dot, which is any character, as you'll recall, 81 of them, and it's anchoring them at the start of the line. So the first 81 characters are to be taken off, or to be matched at the start of the line. It's actually matching the whole line, but the grouped characters are the first 81. And the rest of the S command is backslash one slash. So it's replacing the first 81, the whole line, by the first 81 character. All right? It's basically trimming off anything beyond character 81. That's line 20. I don't know if I said that. So finally, we've got line 23. And this one is quite tricky and it took me a while. I mean, I sort of understand it, but I have to really think hard about what it's doing. This is another substitute command, and it goes like this. S slash circumflex backslash open parenthesis dot asterisk backslash close parenthesis backslash n backslash open parenthesis dot asterisk backslash close parenthesis backslash 2, and then the slash. So let's talk about that regular expression. So it's grouping all of the characters from the start of the line up to the new line. That's in the first group. Then it's matching the new line. And then here's the really tricky bit. Remember, there's a bunch of spaces after the new line, and that bunch of spaces are such that everything, the whole line is now 81 characters long, so that's 80 characters plus the new line. So the remainder of the line will be spaces after the new line. And the way the regular expression has been formed is to say all the characters, a bunch of characters, an arbitrary number of characters, is to be placed into a group, and then that group is repeated. So that forces the regular expression engine to select only as many spaces as can represent the group and a reiteration of the group. In other words, it chops the spaces after the new line into two sections, two equal amounts. Then the rest of the substitution expression consists of backslash 2 backslash 1. So it's taken backslash 2, which is half of the spaces, and is stuck it in front of backslash 1, which is the stuff before the new line. So the effect of that is to place half of the spaces in front of the actual text, thereby centering it. I find this hard to explain. I can sort of visualize it, but it's really hard to turn into words. I hope you've got some understanding from this. Well, I hope I've made it clear enough that you understand it. My text perhaps might explain it better than I just tried to do. So this script is written to center stuff in 80 columns. If you wanted to use a wider number of columns, then you'd have to change that S command that generated the 80 spaces. And you'd also need to change the expression on line 20, where it uses 81, to compensate for that. It's not very flexible. However, it's clever, and it's a useful demonstration of what can be done with sed. If it were me, I would not be using sed to do something like this. I'm sure I would come up with something better, as the manual itself says, using awk or Perl or something. So the second example from the GNU manual is something which emulates the Unix command tac, which is a reverse version of the cat command. And it simply lists a file backwards, names the section reverse lines of file. This is quite well documented, actually. Some of the examples are really, really cryptic, I find, but which is why I've explained them. This one is pretty well done. However, I thought it would be useful to just drill down into it a little bit more than is in the manual. So this one's available in a file called tac.sed, and it's part of the bundle of stuff for this show. So the first line is the hash bang line, and it's using /bin/sed. And in this case, it's not only using -f, but it's also using -n, and that turns off auto printing. We'll see why shortly. So it's pretty small. There are only three commands. So there's quite a number of comments. On line 7 is an address, which is 1, and a single command. But the 1 is followed by an exclamation mark, so it means all lines other than. The G command appends a new line to the contents of the pattern space, capital G that is, and then appends the contents of the whole space to the pattern space. So whatever is in, for all lines that are not 1, take whatever's in the whole space and stick it on the end of the pattern space. Then line 10 consists of a dollar and a P, and that means on the last line, print whatever's in the pattern space. Remember, we've switched off auto printing, so that will only trigger on the last line. Line 13 simply consists of the command lowercase h, and what that does is replace the contents of the whole space with the contents of the pattern space, and this is done, it has no address on it, so it's done for every input line. So I thought it's worth just explaining the algorithm in a bit more detail. The first line that's read doesn't do anything other than trigger the h command on line 13, and this means that the line is simply stored in the hold space. Then the second and subsequent input lines trigger the capital G command on line 7, and so if we were dealing with the second line, for example, we would append a new line to the pattern space and then append line 1, which was stored previously in the hold space, to it. Then the H on line 13 is invoked, and the pattern space, which is now in the order line 2, then line 1, is stored in the hold space again. And that way, every line gets the reversed hold space stuck on the end of it, and is then stored in the hold space. And when the last line is read, the G command on line 7 will be triggered, as before, and it will append the hold space of contents again, so that the pattern space now holds the entire file in reverse order. Then, because it's the last line, the P command will be invoked for the only time, and it'll print everything out. So what you'll see is the entirety of the file, which has been stashed away inside buffers in sed, printed out. I said that it bothered me slightly that after doing that P command, it will also invoke the H command again, which is just a slightly obsessive thing. And I'd have been tempted to have written line 10 with a Q on it, so it would stop it doing that, but it really makes no difference at all. I'm ashamed to have even written this now. Okay, here's the third and last example, if you're finding this a bit much. Not surprised if you are, because it's not easy. It's not even easy to read this stuff. When I was writing these notes, I was thinking, oh, yeah, it makes so obvious, it's so clear. And it was a month or so ago I wrote this, and I'm sort of going through it now. And now I read it again. My God, it's really, really obscure. Sed is brilliant. Sed is a fantastic thing. But I don't ever see me using it in this way, other than to say to somebody, look what I did, isn't this clever? And everybody goes, whoa, that's amazing. But then asking under their breath. Anyway, I'm saying too much. So reverse characters of lines is the last one. And this emulates the standard Unix command called rev, R-E-V. which reverses, takes each line and reverses the characters. Now I've put the script into a file called reverse_characters.z, and it's available with the bundle for this episode. And I have obviously changed the path so it can actually you can run it. And the other thing I did was there were, in the original example, there are actual new lines used. That is, you know, the line is broken by typing a new line in it, whereas I've used backslash ends. So in doing this, I've made it GNU specific. So let's dive into this one. The first line is the hashbang line, which is, it's just got a minus F on it, no suppression of auto printing. And the first command is on line 3, and it consists of an address and a single lowercase b command. The address consists of a string which is simply contains two dots inside slashes, and then it's negated. It's got an exclamation mark after it. So what it means is any line that doesn't contain two characters. The b command, if you remember, is an unconditional branch to a label, except there's no label here. Basically, it means ignore or just carry on to the next one. So whenever a line containing fewer than two characters, then the unconditional branch simply triggers a new cycle, which will print the line and ignore the rest of the script and carry on with the next line. So a line with only one character on it, there's not much point in reversing it, is there? That's the logic. Wow, that's a lot. Ended up being quite a lot to say over a line with just a small number of characters on. Z's like machine code in some respect, I think, when you get to this level. Anyway, let's move on. Line 6 is a substitute command, which the regular expression part is a circumflex dot star or asterisk dollar. It means the entirety of the line. So we know it's going to have two characters in it or more. And it's replaced by backslash n ampersand backslash n slash. And so what that's doing is it's embedding the line in between two new lines. So there's a new line placed at the front and one placed at the end. Now line 10 is a weird one. It contains the t command, which is a conditional branch, and the label it's branching to is x. Well, line 11 contains colon x, so there's a line 10 simply says jump to the next line. And this is documented in the GNU manual with the text, this is often needed to reset the flag that is tested by the t command. This is a thing simply to make the t command set itself to a known state. And I think that's probably because there was a substitution that happened just before that T command. And remember, the T command its condition is that there has been a successful substitution prior to it being invoked. So I guess that makes sense. So I tried taking it out to see if it made any difference, and it didn't seem to. So anyway, line 11 is this label, colon X. They keep their labels pretty short in these examples. In line 12 is a substitution, s slash backslash open parenthesis backslash n dot backslash close parenthesis backslash open parenthesis dot star, well, asterisk I should say, backslash close parenthesis backslash open parenthesis dot backslash n backslash close parenthesis. So that expression was three groups. The first group was the new line and the character after it. The second group was all of the characters other than the ones that match the other groups. So basically the characters between the new lines, but excluding the one we already picked up after the new line. And then the group three is like group one in reverse. It's the character before the second new line. We've got three groups. So we simply output them as the second half of the S, backslash 3, backslash 2, backslash 1. Whatever was whatever the character was just after the leftmost new line becomes the character beside the rightmost new line, but they get swapped over. So these new lines are quite important as markers for which characters are to be swapped. And in swapping them, the character to the right of the first new line becomes the character to the right of the second new line. So it's out. It becomes outside the new lines. The same for the group three. The characters that were inside, just inside the two new lines, become the characters just outside the two new lines and swapped over. Does that help? And the rest of the line is left alone. So you'd say, oh, okay, well, it's just swapped two characters. Well, yeah, but it's using this labely thing, this jump to label thing, because line 13 consists of another TX. So this is one of these conditional jumps to back to label X. And if the substitution was successful, it will fire that particular jump. So it goes back to label X, where it simply executes that S command on line 12 again. So it's going to be looping around, obeying this command as many times as is necessary, until there are no more characters between the new lines. So the last line of this script is simply on line 16. It's a substitute where it goes /S/(n/g). So in other words, remove all new lines or both new lines, and then because we're in auto print mode, the thing will be printed. Now, it took me a while to get my head around what was happening here, and part of the process of finding out was to put some debug stuff into the script, just to be certain that it was doing what I thought it was doing. And I've offered you an alternative version of this script, which I've called reverse_characters_debug.sed, which contains L commands. Remember, the L command lists the current contents of the pattern space, and it does it in a way that makes it easier to spot what's actually going on. Puts dollars to show where new lines are, and so on and so forth. So I've listed it out, but I won't go through it. Basically, I've done it so that I put the L's in so that you see the line after it's had the initial new lines attached to it. Remember, we put a new line at the front and the back of the line. Then I've got an L command in this loop with the TX, the branching back to the X label. So every time it iterates through that loop, it prints out the result. When you run that, what I did was I fed it, echoed to it the alphabet in lowercase, piped that to reverse_characters_debug.sed, which is executable. And it demonstrates, you can actually see the characters inside of the new lines being flipped, such that they're outside the new lines and they've been reversed, so that ABC etc gets reversed to ZYXW. I hope you find that's useful. It certainly made it clearer to me as to what was going on. Maybe you can visualize these things better than I can. And the last line in the block of lines in the notes is the auto printed result of doing all of the swaps. So that's it. That we've done it. We've covered these three at least of these very, very hairy said examples. Actually, there's a lot more hairy ones than that. But I'm sure you would be switching off very, very fast if I were to do any more. And to be honest, I have not looked at any more of them and understood them. So last item of business is, I set a quiz in the last episode. And I said I'd give you the answer. Well, the quiz was to take famous seddemo1.txt, only concentrate on the first line, and take the first letter of each word, place it at the end, and follow that with the letters AY, so that pig, P-I-G, becomes igpay, I-G-P-A-Y. This is called pig Latin, and Latin becomes atinlay. I said skip one and two letter words. I think I said skip three as well in the last episode, but then my example of manipulating the word pig would be silly because it would be skipped. So one and two makes more sense. And the reason you don't want to do anything with one letter words is pretty obvious, because it would turn the single letter A to A-A-Y, which is making a lot of sense. Plus also, number of the words in that file, the first line of that file, are capitalised. And I said, don't bother about them. The fact that the capitals end up in the wrong place is not a big deal. So, here's my answer. What I did was, sed space minus N-E, so we're not auto-printing, quote, 1S slash backslash, open parenthesis, backslash B, backslash W, backslash close parenthesis, backslash open parenthesis, backslash W, that's lowercase w, I should have said, backslash open curly bracket, 2, comma, backslash close curly bracket, backslash close parenthesis, slash. So that's the whole regular expression. Let's see if we can explain this. The first group in parentheses contains backslash B, backslash W. So backslash B is the thing that it's the strange boundary marker, meaning whenever there's a word, the backslash B marks the edge of it, the transition from non-word to word. And the backslash W is simply the first character of a word, or a character of a word. So we're looking for, in this first group, the first character of any word. And the second group contains backslash W, and that's followed by a quantifier in curly brackets, which is 2, comma. And you'll recall that that means I want word characters and I want 2 or more of them. Don't care how many there are in total. I have no upper limit, but 2 has to be at least 2. So that's how we're skipping the 2 character words. So in doing this, we're matching a sequence of the start of a word and the rest of the word. As soon as a space is encountered, the scan for the multiple word characters stops. So in the group, we have the first letter of a word followed by the rest of the word. And then the rest of the S expression consists of backslash 2, backslash 1, A-Y, close slash. So that means put the second group, which is the bit of the word after the first character, follow that with the first character, backslash 1, and then follow that with A-Y. And then the qualifiers to the flags, I should say, for the S command are G and P. It's to do this repeatedly across the line, and when it's finished, print it. And the rest of the line is space, sed demo1.txt. So the result is that you get the words, instead of hacker public radio, you get ACAHAY, oblique pay, adio ray. Then it starts getting a bit silly, because it changes HPR to PRHA, which is just plain silly. But you can't do much more about that with, because it's quite simple. I mean, the said solution is simple. And then it is and an are not touch because they're 2 character words. Then internet is turned into internet EA, which is awful. I'm sure I know that there are rules in this Pig Latin that shouldn't allow that to happen. You can't really write that sort of stuff in sed. Radio turns into adio ray, which I think is quite nice. But show, turns into how say, which is silly. And podcast, I quite like podcast, turns into oddcast pay. That turns into hatte, which is silly. Releases turns into elises ray. Anyway, I know at least one other HPR listener quite likes Pig Latin, but this is not the best of examples, but, you know, it answers the question. So who won? Well, sadly, there were no winners because there were no entries. Come on, guys. Have you actually gone to sleep? That's what I said in my notes here. Probably just as well I'm finishing this series here, because I think I probably sent everyone to sleep several episodes back. So if you've been snoring through this one, well, good luck to you. And I hope you had a good sleep. So that's it. I finished. That's it. No more said. I hope you did enjoy it. I hope somebody got something out of it anyway. Okay, that's it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.